Sananda Chakkavalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammam Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sagamokhadam Dhamma Savanakalo Ayam Badanda Dhamma Savanakalo Ayam Badanda Dhamma Savanakalo Ayam Badanda Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samaha Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samaha Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samaha Sambuddhassa Buddham Saranam Gacchami Dhammam Saranam Gacchami Sangham Saranam Gacchami Today, I would like to share with you another foundation of mindfulness, which is Vedana Nupassana Satipatthana, contemplation on feeling. As I mentioned before, there are four contemplation, there are four foundations that becomes the object for the mindfulness, for the establishment of mindfulness. One is body, kaya nupassana, satipatthana. This including your breathing, four elements meditation, your breathing, and also 32 parts of 32 impure parts of the body. And the second one is contemplation and feeling. Now we are going to discuss this one. And why feeling Vedana become one of the foundation for mindfulness? For what reason? Jiahao?
Because feeling is the main source of craving.
Very good. Because feeling condition craving, and craving is the origin of all suffering. We come to practice because we want to end the suffering. Therefore, we must understand what caused this craving to arise. And precisely because of this feeling, feeling condition craving, therefore, it's so important to know and to contemplate these feelings whenever it arises. And Venerable Sariputta attained arahantship by contemplating feelings. One day, a wanderer called Dikha Naka means this nail. So long nail. He is a nephew of Venerable Sariputta. So one day he approached the Buddha and asked him some question. This is in Majjhima Nikaya 73 or 74. And Buddha taught him contemplation on feeling. At that time, Venerable Sariputta was standing behind the Buddha, fanning him. And Buddha first talked about different type of views. Then later on, Buddha preached there are three types of feelings: pleasant feeling, sukha vedana; unpleasant feeling, dukkha vedana; and neither pleasant nor unpleasant, adukkha masukha vedana. And Buddha said, if one feels pleasant feeling, Can you feel the unpleasant as well?
No.
No. Can you feel neither pleasant nor unpleasant together? No. One time, one feeling. Yeah? Three feelings cannot arise together. So Buddha say when you feel pleasant feeling, at that time you cannot feel unpleasant or neither pleasant nor unpleasant. Similarly, when you feel unpleasant feeling, you cannot feel pleasant or neither pleasant nor unpleasant feeling. Only one time, one feeling at a time. Then the Buddha further explained, pleasant feeling is impermanent. You see, Buddha's teaching is, you cannot escape from impermanent. So Buddha's feeling is impermanent. How to know impermanent? When it arises, you just know impermanent. That's all. Yeah? Feeling, pleasant feeling is impermanent, dependently arisen. So when you contemplate impermanent, later on you investigate why feeling arises. Then you find out the cause and effect, causal relationship. Then you understand all feelings are dependently arisen. Yeah? So pleasant feeling is impermanent, dependently arisen, subject to destruction, vanishing, cessation. So only this few words, Buddha say. Similarly, unpleasant feeling is also impermanent. Your pain also impermanent. Huh? Why it looks so permanent? Why the pain looks so permanent? For breathing, it's always there, but the mind never reject, never repel towards the feeling. But to pain, no, a lot of rejection repel it. It's your mind, your mind don't like it. Huh? It's because you identify the pain as myself, you cannot bear with it. But this one is pleasant, so you like it. You want it to stay as long as possible until the light comes. So it's your own mind, huh, that makes it unpleasant. Although it's pleasant, although physically, naturally it's unpleasant, plus your mind do not like it, it becomes more unpleasant to you. Okay? Buddha say unpleasant feeling is also impermanent, dependently arisen, subject to change, vanishing, cessation. Similarly to neither pleasant nor unpleasant. And Buddha continued to say, if one can experience the impermanence, dependently arisen state, and the cessation, vanishing of that pleasant feeling or unpleasant feeling or neither pleasant nor unpleasant feeling, one become disenchanted with that feeling. So disenchantment is very important for a path to enlightenment. When one become disenchanted towards whatever feeling they feel, he feels, then the mind become dispassionate. When the mind becomes dispassionate, the mind liberate. The mind liberate from that feeling. Then the knowledge arises, it is liberated. And after Buddha finished this short discourse, while fanning on Venerable Sariputta, while fanning on Buddha, the knowledge arises in him and he becomes arahant. It's so easy. So easy. And to us, still a little blur. Therefore, he is sharp wisdom. Now come a question. If you read the sutta, you may come across why so many disciples of the Buddha, while listening to this course, they can become arahant. And we try so many day and night, 8 hours per day, still cannot achieve any distinction of the Dharma. What is the reason?
Parami
is one. Yes, one is parami.
They were receptive.
How receptive?
They weren't blocking maybe their hearts with doubt. Trust, confidence in the teacher.
Trust in the teacher. It just means that you all don't trust me. I come back to the senses. No student trusts me. Right? This is a fact I have to accept. Okay.
It says that there are four types of people.
Very good. Yes.
So the first type is while listening to a very short discourse, become enlightened.
Yes. Sariputta belong to this type of person. Yes, correct.
And then another type is while listening to a longer discourse, of four expositions of the whole Dharma, then they become enlightened.
Yes.
The third type of people is after listening.
Yes,
They may achieve. The last type of people, however they try, they wouldn't go anywhere.
We hope we don't belong to the last type of person. Okay, yes, correct. Venerable Sariputta belong to first type of person. Only listen to short discourse, the wisdom immediately become matured. This is one of the reasons. The second reason is that when listening to talk, most people listen to ear. But for this oldest person, when they listen to talk, when Buddha say contemplate, he said feeling is impermanent. The listener, like Venerable Sariputta, he immediately go to his feeling and see it's impermanent. So when the voice come to his ear, he immediately apply it on the spot. Only then he see arising, passing away, then get disenchanted, and the mind become dispassionate. And when the mind is dispassionate, he become liberated. And we listen to the ear. We listen to the ear, through ear, then memorize it. And when come to practice, forget to practice again. When anger come, give in to anger so fast, forget to not. That's why it takes long time. You got to train your mind to be sharp fast, not respond to your reaction, not responding to your emotions. Okay, so therefore, contemplation on feeling also can lead you to the enlightenment, not only anapanasati. Okay, so in order to explain this contemplation on feeling, I need to deal a little bit with dependent origination, because feeling, condition, craving, right? And it's called so craving is dependently arisen state, and feeling is also dependently arisen state. Therefore, we have to go trace back to the dependent origination. Dependent origination, it said that iti ima seming sati idang hoti iti ima seming sati idang hoti imasa upajati idang imasu pada idang upajati iti ima seming asati idang nahoti imasu niroda idang nirujati. When with the arising of this, that arises. When this ceases, that ceases. When this ceases, that ceases. With the cessation of this, that ceases. So all these are dependent arisen state. The first one, so therefore Buddha said, avijja paccaya sankhara. Depend on the arising of ignorance, karmic formations. So what is ignorance? Not knowing the Four Noble Truths. So first truth, not knowing the five aggregate of clinging is the truth of suffering. Please, this very important statement. Not knowing the five aggregate of clinging is the noble truth of suffering. This one explanation of ignorance, and ignorance, avijja, got two meanings. One is not knowing, another one is know wrongly. So not only not knowing, five aggregate is the truth of suffering, we know wrongly, five aggregate is the truth of happiness. Right? We cannot see it's suffering, we only see it's happiness. And because we see it as happiness, therefore, craving arises. Craving only can arise when the object is give us satisfaction, give us happiness. When suffering, when you see the pain, no one likes the pain. So craving cannot arise when the object is not pleasant. Only when the object is pleasant. So therefore, when you see the five aggregate as pleasant, happiness, it's called wrong seeing. That cause craving to arise. So avijja paccaya sankhara cause craving to arise. This volitional, you want to act. When this craving arises, in order to satisfy, to satiate, or satisfy your craving, you need to act. Otherwise, how to satisfy yourself, right? You need to act. Therefore, it's called sankhara. Avijja paccaya sankhara. And this action, there are three types of actions, right? Mentally formation, physically formation, and verbally formations. So this ignorant, dependent on ignorant karmic formation. So this karmic formations, there are three. Mentally, verbally, and physically. And please remember, once actions are performed, it leaves behind what? Karmic potency. It leaves behind karmic potency. And this karmic potency follows the mental stream. This karmic potency cannot reap fruit immediately. Right? It takes time. It needs many conditions for it to ripen. So therefore, before it ripens, it follows the mental stream. Mental stream is, you know, arising, passing away. It follows the mental stream. When the time's condition for it to ripen, then it just pop up as an effect. That effect is what? Five aggregate. As we said already, formation or fabrication, right? Fabrication fabricates a fabricated thing. Fabrication fabricate fabricated things. What are the fabricated things? Five aggregate. So whatever action you perform mentally, verbally, and physically, this formation or fabrication already fabricate five aggregate. Can be from moment to moment or can bring to renew existence, the new five aggregate in the future. Therefore, and when this new five aggregate arises, that is called the leader. Five aggregate. Who is the leader among these five? Consciousness. Consciousness. Mano pubangama dhamma. Right? Mind is the forerunner. Mind is the leader. So among these five aggregate, consciousness arrive first. Therefore, dependent on ignorance, karmic formation, depend on karmic formation, consciousness. Right? So fabrication, fabricate five aggregate. And among these five, consciousness is the leader. But consciousness cannot arise alone. Consciousness is like a king. King, whenever he goes, he never go alone. He accompanied by his minister, right? The king will be accompanied by his ministers. So his minister is mind and body, mental factors and body. So dependent on consciousness, nama rupa, mind and matter. So at that time, consciousness is the leader. Then mind and matter, matter is four elements. Then mind is mental factors. So all arise together. Then, and once you have mind and matter, you have what? Six senses, right? You have eye base, ear base, nose base, tongue base, body base, and mind base. You start have all this. When you have this six sense bases, will there be contact or not? Yes. When you have the eye, then you have eye contact. When you have ear, you have ear contact. When you have nose, you will have nose contact. When you have tongue, then the food come to tongue, then you will have tongue contact. And when you have body, you know the soft hardness, you know, hardness pushing and so on. You have body contact. And you will have mind contact, thinking, planning, fantasy, all this restless, distracting thought, all this are mind contact. So when there is sense basis, then contact comes to be. And when there is contact, followed by what?
Yeah.
Huh? Feeling. This is very important. Huh? When there's contact, there is feeling, and there are three types of feeling: pleasant feeling, unpleasant feeling, neither pleasant nor unpleasant. But in this dependent origination, Buddha only say pleasant feeling. Only say feeling. He didn't say what type of feeling. But we understand. Huh? When I come to contact with pleasant, agreeable object, then pleasant feeling arise. When I come to unpleasant visible object, for example, seeing your enemy, then unpleasant feeling arises. When I come to neutral object, then neither pleasant nor unpleasant feeling, neutral feeling arises. So this feeling arises almost automatically. There's no one, including Arahant, no one can exclude from feeling. Not possible. So when there's pleasant feeling, what follow after pleasant feeling?
Mm-hmm.
Craving. So when there's pleasant feeling, craving, when there's pleasant feeling, craving arise. And when there's craving, when the mind crave for something, if you don't stop at the mind level, so we learn how to contemplate the mind, right? When the craving arises, how you not, Jonathan? How you not?
Craving arrives.
Who's craving?
Sorry,
what? Who's craving?
Just craving.
Okay, good. So you say craving, craving mind is craving mind. Okay. So, but if you do not know how to note, if you do not know how to note, and this craving will gain momentum, right? Become intensified. When it becomes intensified, it becomes clinging. Clinging is intensified craving. And it becomes so intensified, what's the next?
Become
action. You need to act already, right? Just like the pain becomes so painful, you need to act. While you act, changing posture is the action, right? Okay, so when the craving, when the clinging arises, then one has to act, either verbally or physically. Therefore, it's called becoming. Becoming is karmic becoming. There are two types of becoming, upapati bhava. Karmic becoming or rebirth becoming. So when a karmic becoming, and then you act already, you leave behind, once action has performed, leave behind karmic energy, right? This karmic energy is called karmic bhava. And when this karmic energy bring upapati bhava, rebirth becoming, then the five aggregate arise in next existence. The new five aggregate will arise in next existence. And when there is new five aggregate, there is aging, sickness, death, separation from the beloved one, cannot get what you want, and so on. Thus arise the whole mess of suffering. So this is the dependent origination. And then the chain will continue. The chain will continue to rotate so long you do not know how to note what. Yeah. What is important in this 12th chain? Ignorance is one. Karmic formation, second. The third, consciousness. Fourth, nama rupa, mind and matter. Fifth, contact. Six, feeling. Seven, craving. Eight, clinging. Nine, becoming. 10, birth. Then aging and sickness. And the last one, death. Okay. Among these 12, in order to this trap will keep on rotate. This chain will keep on rotate. So in order to break down the chain so that the dependent origination will not continue, what should you do? Which are the important factors you have to be mindful of?
Feeling.
Yes, we start from very beginning. If you go to craving, sometimes difficult already. Right? Craving already gain the momentum, difficult to cut off. So we start from the very beginning. Yes, it's through contact. But contact is so fast. The moment you walk, there's eye contact, there's ear contact, there's mind contact, right? There's a tongue contact, almost arise simultaneously. So it becomes so difficult to be aware of the contact. So since it's so difficult, put aside first. Then contact, condition, feeling. And Buddha said, one time only one feeling. So easy to pay attention. Nah? So easy to be aware of. So one type of feeling. You can choose one, whatever activity you do, one contact. Let's say you can choose, you can keep on testing in your daily life. I come to contact with food. Okay, check what is your feeling. Feeling from here, not from the brain, from the heart. What feeling you have? No feeling?
Pleasant.
Then if no feeling, what's that? Neither pleasant nor unpleasant. Don't say no feeling, not possible. So when the eye come to contact with food, just stop and check the feeling. Okay? Neutral. Then note neutral feeling as neutral feeling. Neutral feeling is dependently a recent state. Note. So feeling is very easy to discern. Craving is a little bit difficult because it becomes strong already. Neutral feeling, pleasant feeling are very clear, very easy. So, in order to cut the chain of the dependent origination, I would like to suggest we start with feeling first. And because of this reason, that contemplation of feeling become one of the foundation of mindfulness. Okay, start with feeling. When let's say pleasant feeling, when I come to contact with the food, pleasant feeling arises. You aware of the pleasant feeling, just aware pleasant feeling as pleasant feeling. Don't say, I am feeling pleasant feeling. I am feeling pleasant feeling. Don't bring in the I. Okay? Say pleasant feeling as pleasant feeling. This way of saying remind you, pleasant feeling is just a feeling. If you say that I am feeling pleasant feeling, I am feeling pleasant feeling, you identify feeling as I am, which I think is not effective way of contemplation. So when you see pleasant feeling as pleasant feeling, is it enough or not? Enough?
No.
No. What is the next step?
Apply wisdom.
How?
By noting that it's impermanent.
Very good.
And watch it vanish and name it as it's gone.
Good. Very good. So same thing. The way you contemplate mental state. If you know how to contemplate mental state, you know how to contemplate feeling. Just different object only. But the way of contemplation is the same. Only when you fail to contemplate feeling, then it condition craving, then you shift from contemplation of feeling to contemplation of mind. There's still hope. There's hope there. There's still hope. So you shift to contemplation of mind. The mind affected by craving, as mind affected by craving, and see it's vanishing, vanishing, vanishing. And if it still does not vanish, then it becomes clinging. At the time you clench your teeth. not with strong effort, right? Until you feel the clinging has no more in your heart. Then you are relieved. No need to act. No need to perform action. So at this moment, viriya, effort, is very important. The effort causes mindfulness. The mindfulness causes wisdom. Okay? So effort is necessary all the time. And when there's no clinging, then no more becoming. No more karmic becoming. When there's no karmic becoming, no rebirth becoming. When there's no rebirth becoming, there's no new five aggregate, no birth. No new five aggregate. When there's no birth of five aggregate, there's no aging, no death, no sickness and no death. Thus, come to the cessation of this whole mess of suffering. Right? So from this, we come to understand, you want to cut down or break the chain of dependent origination, there are two things you can do. One is start with contemplation of feeling. Another one, start with, if it fails, go to the contemplation of mind. If you succeed, at that moment, you cut the chain of dependent origination. One time you succeed, one time you cut down the rotation of the dependent origination. 100 times you succeed, 100 times you cut down. Then the five aggregate will not be built up again and again in the future. This is how you practice the path. And this path is called Noble Eightfold Path. Okay? Okay, so why I relate this dependent origination, simply to tell you the importance of contemplation on feeling. Otherwise, you may not understand why it's so important. Okay, now we come to feeling. So there are three types of feeling. Generally, we say three types of feeling. Pleasant, sukha vedana. Unpleasant, dukkha vedana. Neither pleasant nor unpleasant, dukkha masukha vedana. And pleasant feeling got two types of pleasant feeling. One is bodily pleasant feeling. One is mentally somanasa. Somanasa, mentally pleasant feeling. For example, when you enter into jhana, you have physical somanasa. You also have mental somanasa. Right? So don't forget, when I talk about feeling, most people only think of bodily. They forget mentally. Because many people are not sensitive towards the mind. They are sensitive toward the body. So they cannot relate that pleasant feeling is, there's also mental pleasant feeling. So feeling got two, mentally and physically. Unpleasant feeling also got two, physically and mentally. Mentally is dhammanasa, okay? So two. But neither pleasant nor unpleasant can reply into both body and mind. So generally speaking, there are three, but this dhammanasa and dukkha vedana and sukha vedana can apply into mental and physical. Don't forget this point. Okay. So whenever the senses come to contact, with six sense objects. To understand feeling well, we must understand the six object well. What are the six object in the teaching of the Buddha? What are the six objects? First, visible object. Visible object. Second, sound. Third, smell. Fourth, taste. Fifth, tangible object. Tangible object including three. What three? Don't know? Maureen? Tangible object including three. What are the three?
Earth, water, and fire.
No water.
Earth, air, and fire, and no water.
Yes. Tangible object is four element, right? Tangible objects when we talk about tangible object, it refers to four elements. So four elements exclude water element. Water element cannot be filled by sense of touch. Therefore, exclude water element, earth element, hardness and softness, hardness, softness, roughness, heaviness, lightness. All these are earth elements. Okay? Fire element, cold and heat. And the last one, wind element. Any motion, pushing, vibration, distension, pleasure, pressure, distension. All these are wind element. Okay? And the last one, mental object. So all these six objects, six types of objects. As a practitioner, Vipassana practitioner, you must understand these six types of objects because they are the object of your observation as well. So each object has three flavors. For example, visible object. What flavor it has? Yeah, agreeable. Some visible object appear to us very, very agreeable. Some object appear to us disagreeable. And some object appear to us neither agreeable nor disagreeable. So each object, whether it's visible object or sound, by some sound appear to us very pleasant. Some sound very unpleasant. Some sound appear to us neutral. Same like pace, tangible object, and mental object. So each object has three flavors. So when the eye, let's say from when the tongue tastes the delicious food, who knows that delicious flavor? Jonathan.
The tongue knows.
Okay, hold on. The tongue is matter, physical.
Yes.
Matter cannot know.
Okay, the mind.
It's
a mind.
Huh?
Mind knows.
It's not precise enough.
Okay. Consciousness knows.
Okay, who want to answer? Who knows the pleasant taste?
Feeling.
Huh?
Feeling.
Yes, feeling feels that flavor. So the characteristic of feeling is it feels. Each mental state has four things. One is each mental state, including craving, mindfulness, concentration, or feeling. First is characteristic. So what is the characteristic of feeling? It feels. So whatever you feel pleasant, unpleasant, neither pleasant nor unpleasant, just know feeling feels. That's all. Don't identify that feeling as I, myself. Okay? Feeling feels. And the second, it's characteristic. The second is function. Each mental state has its own function. So what is the function of the feeling? The function of feeling is it experiences the desirable aspect of the object. For example, the food. Food has desirable aspect, right? So when the food touches the tongue, pleasant feeling feels the desirable aspect of that food. That's all. It's only pleasant feeling. We identify pleasant feeling as myself is because we don't have that knowledge. Now we have that knowledge. The Buddha's teaching to us, it's just a pleasant feeling feels. So next time when you feel the pleasant, just recognize it, pleasant feeling feels the desirable aspect of the food. Similarly, when the abusive word come to contact of the ear, then unpleasant feeling feels the unpleasant aspect of that abusive word. So once the unpleasant feeling feels that abusive word, what should you do? Ali, what should you do?
I think we should contemplate, don't act.
How?
Don't react.
How to contemplate? Tell me the way of contemplation.
Impermanent.
First, only two things. First, apply mindfulness. Second, apply wisdom. Just remember these two. First, apply mindfulness. What mindfulness? Know. Unpleasant feeling has a reason. Just know. Unpleasant feeling has a reason. Unpleasant feeling as unpleasant feeling. Just mindfulness. Second, apply wisdom. Contemplate impermanent, impermanent, impermanent. Then the mind will turn, will go back to its clarity. If you don't contemplate in this way, you carry away by that pleasant feeling, then followed by craving, clinging, the mind keep on acting. The body also keep on acting over that pleasant feeling. Then a lot of action are performed. A lot of karma are performed, right? And the mind lose its clarity. Once there's craving, the mind lose its clarity. Okay. So each object, sound also has its pleasant or unpleasant or neither pleasant nor unpleasant flavor. Remember, it's only feeling feels that flavor, not I, not mine, not myself. Okay. Similarly, touch. Touch. After some time, pain arises in you. What's the first reaction? How should you note? Yeah, okay. Painful feeling as painful feeling. Painful feeling as painful feeling. Don't grasp the painful feeling as myself. We have been grasping that painful feeling as myself for a long, long time already. Now we learn to undo this reaction of the mind. So see it, unpleasant feeling as unpleasant feeling. Unpleasant feeling is unpleasant feeling. Then if you further contemplate impermanent, then the second thought will come to you. Why is so permanent? Even though you apply impermanent, it looks so permanent. Because physical painful feeling, takes long time to disappear. Unless your mindfulness is so sharp, wisdom is so sharp, the moment you look at it, it disappears. Otherwise, for beginners, it takes so long time. At this moment, you need courage, courageous effort. If you want to take pain as object, then go to it. Wash the pain. When you wash the pain, at the same time, from time to time, aware of your mind, how your mind react to the pain. Is it aversion arise? If aversion arises in your mind, leave the physical pain aside. Look at the mind affected by aversion, as mind affected by aversion, impermanent, conditionary, arisen, impermanent. When it gone, either you can go back to the breath or you go back to the pain again. So when your mind go into pain, you can see many sensations, many tiny things inside that pain. It's not a block. Initially, it's a block, but when you go in deeper and deeper, you can see many tiny things inside. Sometimes this tiny thing also arising and passing away. Up to the end, you can see particles, very tiny sand, refined sand particles, like vibrating there, arising, passing away. And there's no solidity. Not a block like when you first perceive, no more, dissolve. Then it's like fine, refined sand arising, passing away. At that time, the pain does not bother you anymore. And some other time, when you keep on looking at the pain, don't forget to check your mind. What is your reaction towards the pain? It's a time for you to learn how to contemplate your mind. Right? See any reaction? If mind is neutral, at that time, no unpleasant feeling. Although body is unpleasant, but mind, no unpleasant feeling. Then know your mind, neither pleasant nor unpleasant feeling. If both are unpleasant, physical pain also unpleasant, mental also unpleasant, choose mental to not. Don't choose physical pain. Why? Because mind arising and passing away much, much faster than body. So if you choose the mind to contemplate, then it gives you a chance to see fast arising and passing away of your mental state. which to me is much more valuable. Huh? Even physical pain takes a long time. So from time to time, check your mind, whether the mind is at pleasant state or unpleasant state, or neither pleasant nor unpleasant state, or is it aversion or no. So from time to time, check the mind and note the mind instead of noting physical pain. And as you keep on noting on the pain, finally all the pain disappeared. What left behind is just a sensation. Only sensation, no pain at all. And the mind gets very detached from that sensation. One sensation, that sensation, the mind is equanimous, not affected by the physical sensation at all. At the time, you can sit through the whole night until tomorrow morning. Okay? So this is how you note the pain. Okay? But if you think that too much for you, then forget it. Go back to the breath. We also must train our mind. If you cannot cope with the pain, train our mind to ignore the pain. First, see the few mental states again. Mind affected by aversion, like impermanent. Still, you feel that the pain is too much for you to cope with. Learn to ignore it. You can ignore it. Force your mind to go back to the breath. Little bit heart breathing until your mind can anchor on the breath, then the pain will not affect you at all. This is how people can sit very long. Not because they have no pain, right? Because they have skillful way to handle all these hindrances. Okay.
Let me ask you a question.
Okay, let us stop today's talk and open for discussion.
So, whenever something happens, either pain or other things, then we certainly feel unpleasant. Pleasant is easy to deal with. I think if we feel unpleasant, we could either deal with the feelings or mind.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than that physical thing is solved.
Rather
that
than
the physical issue is solved.
Yes. Mind decide everything. It solves the source first. Then the effect will go away. Not so disturbing. The source always comes from the mind. Although pain comes from physical, right? Pain comes from physical. So long your mind do not react, pain does not bother you. It's just that our mind keep on reacting to the pain. That's why it becomes disturbances.
So, yes, that's if the pain bothers me, then I will watch the mind.
To the mind. Don't say why first.
Okay.
Check the reaction. It's a disliking, right?
Yeah.
Disliking.
Aversion.
Then note that mind. Called dominasa. Dominasa. The mind affected by displeasure. So the mind affected by displeasure. Not that mind. Okay. After not that mind, if it's still there, then you contemplate cause and effect. Why this mind, on account of what this mind affected by displeasure arises? Oh, because of this pain. Because of this pain. This is the cause, the mental affected by displeasure is effect. Then if you have intelligence, high intelligence, you should arouse disenchantment towards both mind and body. If there's no mind, right? Physically, let's say corpse, we chop the corpse. No feeling, right? No feeling at all. Why? Why no feeling? Why the corpse has no feeling? No consciousness, exactly. Therefore, consciousness is the couplet. It's the main thing that causes us to feel the pain. So having consciousness is more, how to call, having consciousness is more suffering than having the body. Right? So at a time, use your wise attention, use your intelligence to investigate. Therefore, I say meditation is not only sitting. You need investigation. We call Dhamma Vichaya Sambhojanga. One of the seven factors of enlightenment, the second one. Investigate. If I have no mind, then the pain will never bother me. It's the mind feel the pain, right? So you should arouse the disenchantment, the suffering of having the mind. Then both, the suffering of having the both. So you can contemplate suffering of having the mind, suffering of having the body, arouse your dissatisfaction towards the body and mind. This is also one of the insight. Don't only see pain, no. You must have the disenchantment towards both. Then get dispassionate towards having this both. Only then your mind will incline to having, not having both. Not having both, finally you reach Nibbana, right?
So then for foundation or mindfulness, we don't have to go the body first and feeling.
No.
We can go to mind directly.
Yes. When you go to mind, although Buddha divide into four, but when you see one, the other three are applied together. You cannot separate mind and body. No. When you see the mind unpleasant, they say mind affected by displeasure, it's because of body, right? So it's also connect with the body. Same anapanasati, you feel pleasant, also because of mind. Mind feel pleasant. So although we say one nupasana, one contemplation, body, but mind are always, mind is also contemplated. And when we talk about feeling, also it's connected with the physical. For example, the foot come to touch on the tongue sensitivity. Tongue is body, right? Because of tongue sensitivity, pleasant feeling arises. Because of tongue contact, pleasant feeling arises. So you cannot only see mind without involved body. Not possible. So when we say cittanupassana, contemplation of mind, doesn't mean that we neglect the body altogether. Not possible. These two work together very closely. Okay, last question.
Are the foundations like first through the fourth, the equivalent to pulling up a weed while it's still small? If you pull it up while it's at the body stage, you don't have to go to feeling. If you miss the body, you go to feeling. You try to pull up the weed at the feeling stage. If you miss, then you go to mind.
Yes, correct. And then if you are skillful enough, you know how to go.
At the body.
If you are not skillful enough, this one doesn't work. Stop already. I don't know what to do already. Skillful is very important. As an insight meditator, skillful. Make your mind very flexible, skillful. Then anything can be the object of your observation, even the hindrances, right? Hindrances weaken the wisdom and concentration. But if you have skillful mean to deal with it, and these hindrances become the factor of the enlightenment. Because when you know it, then you see it arising, passing away, it becomes the factor of enlightenment. Right? So not afraid of anything, as long as you have the skillful mean and courageous effort. Right? Don't attach too much to the body. If you attach too much to the body, I'm hurt. No, you cannot break through. Okay, that's all for today. Thank you.